Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The Pentagon says weapons are going to arrive in Ukraine within days. That should make Joseph Lindsley happy. Let's check in with him right now. Joe, what's going on where you are today?
Well, Bob, hello from Kyiv. And, you know, I'll say we're keeping things interesting here with the weapons on the way, but, you know, it took many months for that agreement to happen. And so the situation at the front is extremely tenuous. I mean, everything that I'm hearing that these weapons, you know, could not arrive perhaps at a more crucial time. Hopefully they arrive in time. But the front lines, I mean, villages are falling into Russian hands. I just saw on Twitter a popular American Medicare, her name, combat medic named Rebecca. She said, almost every village I have lived in, worked in, evacuated from, and made memories in is now in the hands of the Russians. And so the Russians, I mean, they are chipping away at that front line, and Ukrainians have been holding on for these past months, but it's just about to break in the eyes of many people. And so these attack-ins, these long-range weapons from the U.S. can make an enormous difference once they get here. But, you know, the Washington has been, you know, very public about this, that they're, you know, that the initial batch, or you know, I'll put it this way, because one batch arrived last week that was agreed in February, but the initial batch of sort of super long range attack-ins that is the result of that aid package that was passed by both houses of Congress and signed by President Biden. The Washington has been very public that those weapons are going to start arriving any day now if they're not already if they have not already crossed the border. And so obviously the Russians know this. They know these weapons are on the way. And yesterday, the Russians started to attack in eastern Ukraine, Ukrainian railways with very precise attacks. It seems that perhaps they're trying to disrupt supply lines. They hit railway stations in the Kharkiv region, including the electric train from Kharkiv to the town of Izum. And the electric train is sort of like a commuter train, you know, used by a lot of sort of working class people. And there are victims, people were injured from this attack. But it seems that the Russians perhaps are trying to disrupt these supply lines because they know that these weapons are on the way. Washington is also continuing to make it clear that when these weapons do arrive, that Ukraine has every permission to hit Russian targets in the Crimean Peninsula, Russian military bases. This is extraordinary and huge. It's a change of policy from the White House. And it's interesting if you look at, you know, just how tenuous it is right now and all the lives that have been lost holding the line these past months. On July 22nd, 2022, Jake Sullivan, the White House National Security Advisor, said that President Biden was not prepared to send ATACMs, these long-range missile systems with a range of about 300 kilometers or 190 miles. In July 2022, the White House was not prepared to send these to Ukraine. And the reasoning was, as Jake Sullivan said, we want to ensure we do not end up in a circumstance where we are headed down the road toward a third world war. Very interesting now, almost two years later, the White House is sending precisely those weapons to Ukraine. And so this is a big change. You know, a lot of ground has been lost, but, you know, there's a great hope here that if these weapons can sort of get, you know, sliding into home base, can get here just in time before things, you know, might collapse a little bit. And meanwhile, Ben Wallace, who was the previous defense minister of the United Kingdom, he said he was criticizing the German chancellor because Germany. So Washington is putting pressure now on Germany to send its Taurus missiles, its own version of these long-range missiles. And Olaf Scholz, the chancellor of Germany, has so far refused to do it. And you know, even now, I mean, Washington is really putting this pressure on him. And Ben Wallace from the UK said, you know, he said, you can't incrementally help Ukraine, a bit of this and a bit of that. He said, do we want Ukraine to win or do we want them to lose? And so this question, I think, is becoming quite urgent. And we're seeing a lot of people changing their minds on it and trying to pressure other leaders to sort of join this new team of getting these long-range weapons to Ukraine before it's too late.
Joe, I finally got through that exclusive Washington Post story from a couple of weeks ago. They got their hands on a trove of internal Kremlin documents, and the report was really something. Kremlin-linked political strategists and trolls have apparently written thousands of fabricated news articles, social media posts, and comments that promote American isolationism, stir fear over the United States border security, and attempt to amplify U.S. Economic and racial tensions. And this is something that we've talked about, but the Russian spin doctors are at it, aren't they?
Yeah, and often, I mean, they're very good and audacious at it. I mean, you know, we've talked about before, but there was that one week in late January, you know, when these debates were happening in Washington, whether or not to support Ukraine, was it a lost cause? And Ukraine had these enormous successes. They shot down three of Russia's 24 most powerful planes. And Russia controlled the narrative. They said, one of those planes had 65 Ukrainian POWs. There's no one even talks about this now. There's zero evidence of that. No one knows who these people were because they probably never existed. But instead, you know, that became the headline that week was, Ukraine shoots down its own prisoners of war. There was no evidence of that whatsoever. And the real headline might have been Ukraine shoots down three of Russia's most powerful planes, which might have really helped speed things up in Washington. So Russia is adept at this. And then you look at, amazingly, a lot of Americans believe the Kremlin propaganda that Christianity is oppressed in Ukraine. I mean, this is sort of speaking from Ukraine. It's hard to even imagine that. There's so many churches here. It's a very religious country. But they push this narrative very strongly. Tucker Carlson and others repeat it all the time. And meanwhile, we have even further news today in Mariupol, which we could say it's an occupied city, but that Mariupol is a city that the Russians erased in 2022, and now they're rebuilding it and sending Russians there. And there was one of the remaining buildings there was a Protestant church, and the Russians are converting that into a cinema. And just, so while they are, saying that somehow Zelensky is oppressing Christians, which is totally ridiculous, they're actually doing this. They're destroying churches and especially targeting evangelicals. So, yeah, the Russians are, if you're going to send missiles upon civilian cities and you have no problem with that, I don't think you're going to have a problem with lying. And so this is what we face with Russian propaganda.
The View from Inside Ukraine, Joseph Lindsley. Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Until Monday. Thank you, Bob.